On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
It's Tori. Yeah. How'd it go all week? It's a brand new week, sort of. Tuesday starts off the week here. Starts out this week. Tori's outside again. Tori's talking in third person. Tori's got problems. Yeah, there's hammering. There's lawnmowers. This is nature in this part of the city. You know what? It's never just peaceful. If you want peaceful, dude, just go to Saskatchewan or someplace. Or Antarctica. Because civilization is everywhere. I mean, even if you go to the Amazon, you're probably going to run into tribes. And I bet they make their own kind of noise. So, I don't know really what the solution is. If you like being alone, as they say, mountaintops, but I think that would grow old pretty fast. I don't know. I don't want to be isolated. That's like a prison sentence that you've done nothing to earn. Anywho, so Sunday night was the season premiere of The Walking Dead, and I'm not going to do a whole lot on this because most people probably don't even watch it or know what it is. So just for those few that do, I will make it very brief. You know, it's gruesome. It really followed the graphic novel very well. It's doing that. And I know of at least one person that even stopped reading it after that came out in the novel, which was even more than a couple of years ago, that we're really behind on the show. So, and if you want to say, well, movies are even more violent. Okay, I've been thinking about that, and here is my response to that. A movie is about 2 hours long at best. Sometimes you get them a little longer if it's Martin Scorsese. I don't know. Anyway, point being, this show has been on since 2010. You're talking about 6 years. Now, if you watch something for 6 years, you're going to get attached to the characters, probably. And if you don't, then why are you even watching this? It's entertaining to you on some level if you put in that many years. So, the difference being a movie being violent and people die and you go, oh, boo-hoo. This character that died, if you haven't seen it, I probably shouldn't spoil it, but you probably have. And why are you listening to this anyway? And maybe you don't even watch the show. One of the characters was killed off that was there since the very first show. So that's kind of sad. The other character had only been around a couple of years. It's still not good. And it's almost like it's tapping into our deepest part of emotions. So I could even talk about this having to do with anything, not even The Walking Dead. When you're watching things on television or movies that really are disturbing like that, it's as the years pass, it gets closer to home because of the world we live in. You wouldn't see this back in 1960, probably, even on movies. You just wouldn't. Times have changed, and I guess we have to change with them, and that's good and bad, apparently. So, moving right along. I've been to Boston a few times lately, and I'm there again today. I mean, when you're listening to this. When this premieres, I will be in Boston at that very moment. And it's when you do ride the T, it's always interesting. I don't even have a problem with riding the T because I find it so interesting. The sights, the sounds, the smells, everything, it's different. So, I mean, if I had to do it every day for work, it might be a whole different story. But the infrequency of me being on the MBTA makes it interesting. I can't stop using that word, but it just fits. So you sit there and you're looking around, and what do you look at but the walls? You can look out the window, and that's my favorite thing to do, is to look and see where we're going, unless we're in the tunnel, and then it's bad because there's nothing to look at except people. And one other thing, the advertisements. They must make a lot of money with those ads. I don't know how much, but it's got to be something significant. One ad in particular I just happened to want to go embellish on was something for Quincy College, I think it was. I don't have my notes with me right now. I'm outside again, if you missed that. The Quincy College. Okay. There's several different people on this poster, and they represent all genders, races, you name it. But they also, they have one thing in common. They're all beautiful. Even ages. There's older people. These people are all beautiful. I mean, I'm trying to think of the casting call or the ad to get these people in for a display for this college poster for adult education or whatever it is. And, you know, they're screening them, and they all got to be good looking. We want to put the good looking people on here to get everybody in there. And I guess that's a thing. There's nothing new about doing that with advertising. But sometimes it's not real. It makes you have to think, well, I don't look good enough to go to this college or to wear these clothes or to buy this car. It's just, that's getting worse. That's the thing about advertising, is you have to keep up and look good and all of those things. And I know many people that don't. I know many, 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 I know a tremendous amount of people that don't follow that. And I like those people. They don't care. And you shouldn't care. So, speaking of Donald Trump, you know, you caught that, didn't you? In 2012, Chief Justice David Souter of New Hampshire gave a speech or an interview, so forth, and that's been popping up as of the past week. You can find it on YouTube in its entirety, but even if you just get like the 10-minute clip or 6-minute clip or something that was significant about his prophetic talk about this man that will just say, hey, I can fix everything, and he's outside government, and this is, quote, the how democracy dies. Very scary, okay? Because you're going to hand over all your power to so-and-so. And that's kind of what's happening. But people that don't know any better will go along with that. They don't want educated, informed people. They want, it's all scary. It's all, look it up if you want. I'm not going to delve into it because, I don't know, a lot of you listeners are probably on the Trump train. And, you know, good for you, GFY. Yeah. Also, last weekend, I participated in a 5K walk. Pretty sure that's about how long it was when you think 3 miles is like 5K. I'm not good with metrics, but somebody told me that's what it meant. So yeah, okay. It was called the Out of the Darkness Walk for Suicide Prevention, and it was their first walk in Easton, Borderland Park, which it was supposed to be in Boston, actually, and they changed it to Easton, which is why I was able to commit to it at the last minute. And it's a great cause. If you look it up and can donate, great. It's very worthwhile to do something good with your money besides spend it on lottery and cigarettes. And yeah, I'm talking to you people. If you have a vice, you seriously might want to consider donating to a charity. Maybe it'll balance it out a little. If you're a good person and go to church maybe and do good stuff for your neighbors and pick up trash or whatever you do, then maybe not so important. And maybe you're already donating to charity anyway, and I don't need to tell you. But it's you other, I hate to say the word selfish, but that's what vices involve. It's being selfish. So if you're a little selfish, hey, throw $10 out to a charity. There's plenty of good ones. Look into it. I did receive over $400 so far from good friends of mine that have, you know, chipped in. And my goal is till December 31st. For my charity in memory of my son, James. Anyhow, so as I was driving into town the other day, I noticed a VW Beetle driving on the other side of the highway. And I thought to myself, boy, you know, you never see those anymore. I was with my brother, and he noticed it first. And, you know, you just don't see them as much as you used to, for whatever reason. And so that made me think of that game, you know, Punch Buggy, where you slug someone in the arm, bruising it, because you see a VW.
I don't know about that game anymore. It's sort of gone. So I asked, you know, my nieces and my brother, what do you think has taken its place? And I think they said Jeeps. If you see a Jeep, you go, Jeep, like that. I mean, that's their game now, how they've replaced it. I don't know if you've replaced it or you play it or you don't care, like me. But, you know, it was an interesting observation, it anyway. Okay. Looking at websites, I found one that has some really good clothes, ladies. And if you're like me, I'm cheap when it comes to clothes. I'm not buying some $200 dress or $50 shoes. Or, I mean, it takes a lot to get me to really spend money like that. I want secondhand. I'll go to a thrift store and have a field day. However, there is a place, and they have free shipping. So as soon as I get some bank, I'm going to check out DressLily.com more than I already have, because this DressLily, I looked at every single item I want. That's never happened, okay? These shirts are just me. Everyone's me, 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 me. Would love every one. And they're around 10 bucks or less or a tiny bit more. It's outrageous. I love them all. I would have a different one, and I could dress for success with hardly any money. I am so low maintenance. I don't know if you know that about me, but that is a fact. Now, I just want to get back to the train for a second, because there is something I did want to mention. So riding on the T, it was the red line. All of a sudden, there was this loud squeak. I mean, screech, screech. I don't want to do it like it was in real time and sound, because it'll be annoying. But it was so loud, okay? I've never heard that. They need to totally maintain these things or oil them or whatever. So loud, I had to block my ears. And I'm looking around to see if anyone else is doing this. And only the guy next to me did it too, okay? Maybe we were in the extra loud section. I don't know. But I started thinking, you know, people would rather go deaf than look uncool, okay? People would rather freeze to death then look uncool. I'm not wearing no jacket. I'm not covering up my ears. What is wrong with you? Really? I don't care. I don't know you people on the train. I didn't know one person. I bet I will never see them again in my life. If I have to protect my ears for a second because of common sense, then I'm going to do it. And the guy next to me, yeah, he might have been a little off. I think he had Asperger's or something, but still, he's concerned. Why aren't you concerned about your hearing? It was ridiculously loud, and it happened twice. Both times, both of us protected our ears, and both times, no one else did. I made a point the second time, especially, to look around, because I noticed it kind of the first time. So the second screech, but then again, why are they not fixing it? How much money are these people making? And apparently now there's this move, I don't know too much about it, to make the MBTA private when it's public transportation. Again, I don't know. I haven't read up on it, but just hearing those words makes me totally against it. Why privatize anything? I don't like the sound of those things, because some fat cat is getting rich. They found a way to scam the system. They found a Trump loophole. I don't like it. It's been public transportation for a while. Why can't that just be left alone? Do you think it's going to improve if it's privatized? The screech will go away? Well, guess what? I'm going to take that screech then. I will wear earplugs and have a screech before I will let it be privatized and have certain people having yachts being built for them while other people are taking private transportation now. We can't even, do we still say public transportation? I don't even know. So guess what? I don't like it. Tori has spoken. So anyway, Halloween is coming up, and I've never been more disinterested. I don't know. It's just, I'm not feeling it this year. I know it's the same as every year and people dress up, and I've had a lot of fun on Halloween. Gone to Salem 3 times, and it's an event. It's exciting. I would recommend it. Don't be afraid of it. I used to be a little intimidated by it until I went for the first time. 11 years ago. I went 11 years ago, 9 years ago, and 2 years ago. So I love it. I would do it. I will do it if someone wants to do it with me. I'm not against it. I'm not feeling Halloween this year. Don't have a costume. I don't care about getting a costume. If you do, great. Really, have a good time. I hope lots of people do have a good time. I know I think I was invited to a party And I'm still not sure if I'm going to go because, again, I'm going alone. I don't know. It's whatever. Next.
Oh, so, by the by, Tori got a check.
I got a check. You know, Tori, whatever. What am I doing? I got a check from a class action suit in the mail last week. I recommend, this is my recommendation, that if you are invited to jump on board a class action suit, you do it. This is my second or third check. Definitely. I got a Blockbusters one years ago. And that one, as I recall, was when they said that when you returned your movie late, you had to pay like whatever the fee was every day. However, when you rented the movie, you got it for like 2 or 3 days. So really, in reality, you should have got $3 a day, whatever. And common sense. I'm glad someone got on board and filed that suit because I made something then. I forget. Anyway, this one was for LinkedIn. I made $20. The easy way. And I remember jumping on board with this almost a year ago. I had forgotten about it until the check came, and I had to actually look it up and see that it was Perkins versus LinkedIn. And it has to do with, I'm just going to bottom line it because I'm not probably exact about it, but it had to do with them dipping into your contacts and sending them one email to see if you wanted to be on LinkedIn, which was fine apparently. But then they sent 2 or 3 follow-ups, and that's not so cool without you agreeing to that. I got out of LinkedIn a while ago anyway. I've been out of LinkedIn, for going on a year. I just found their privacy to be lacking. I think Facebook has more privacy than LinkedIn. LinkedIn, I think you could see partial profiles no matter what, and I didn't like that. You're searchable, all these other things. Anyway, if I really needed LinkedIn, I would be like in a position of having a real career and needing it to network and so forth. It's a useful tool there, maybe. I'm out of that circle. And most of my contacts anyway were related to acting, which I haven't done in about 3 years now. And one of the reasons for that is because these people that are extras in the movies, little did you know, or maybe you do know, they think they are all that and a bag of chips. If that people do even still say that? I don't know. But these people are kind of snooty. Not all of them, but a significant number. And if you're union, you're way snootier upon the people that are not in the union. And I was not in the union because you pay dues to be in the union. And if you're working a lot, it's perfect. You pay a union, you make a lot more money than non-union, so it's a good deal. However, and some places just want non-union people for that project. But otherwise, when I left it, I was getting emails about roles, or rather movies, casting calls, show up, bring your resume, blah, 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 which I'd done for 3 years and worked for 3 years steady. By the fourth year, around that time, things were happening. I was getting the calls, but then they'd say, oh, never mind. Oh, there's this and that. Oh, we don't need you. I think they were looking for a lot of union people. Union people were getting all the jobs. There was nothing left that I could see. I don't know how it changed because I stayed non-union the whole time, and I worked consistently for 3 years, and then it stopped. So I said, don't send me any more emails because it's like a tease. It's like, oh, you're going to hear, oh, sorry, sorry. So, no. I got out of it. And plus, when you're there, you work many hours. A lot of it's sitting around, which is fine. You expect that. So bring a book for $8 an hour. Okay, you can go to McDonald's probably and make more money in less time. Maybe you won't meet a famous person, but you also won't be around people that think they're Robert De Niro when they are not. And you feel it. I remember the last day I ever worked. I worked on the Cameron Diaz movie, Jason Segel movie, Sex Tape, which was originally going to be called Math Test or something. Something about math. It had math in the title so that they could get around filming at certain Catholic establishments back in 2013. And it came out, I believe, in 2014. Worked on that. At the end of the night, when you're there hours and hours, I wasn't even on camera as it turned out, but fine, that happens too. All the pizza ran out. They get pizza, of course, for all the people that are there that aren't union. Union gets served first. Union gets everything first. Okay, whatever. They pay for it. Great. No problem. I could be union. I'm not saying and complaining. If I want to be union, I'll be union. But there was no more pizza left. As I remember walking by, I saw a woman with a stack full of slices for her whole family or whatever. I don't know what she's doing. I thought, you know, they limit it to one or two. So by then, there's no food. I'm, you know, disappointed, discouraged. I'm pretty much ready to give up. I was supposed to work the next day. I did not. And also that night, one of these people that's so great in their mind said they needed a ride home. Another woman, I forget her name even at this point, but it was an hour out of my way. And I still said with a smile on my face, sure, I'll give you a ride. No problem. Gave her a ride in the dark. I didn't think I had GPS, a phone with GPS back then. So or any kind of Garmin or something. But so, you know, she seemed super nice. And then, you know, I find her on Facebook and like, oh, hey, remember me? And everything. Not long. It wasn't even like a lot of time elapsed. And she pretended like she didn't even know me. Friends? What? No. So you see, there's a lot of phoniness afoot in that business. And I don't miss that. I don't miss the long hours. I met a few cool people. I got to see celebrities up close, which I guess can be a thrill. I spoke to Adam Sandler. I saw Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel and Henry Winkler. I hugged the Fonz. I hugged Henry Winkler, and here comes the boom. Totally approachable guy. Kevin James, not so much. Please don't look at him. And that's been said, and I'll just back it up, too. It happens. It was the happening. Other people, I don't know if I met any other really, you know, I was grown-ups, too. I was there. I got makeup, dressed up. They didn't even need us. Big waste of time. But I didn't even give up then. I stuck with it. Well, anyway, that's a big chunk of my movie working time. My first movie was, I'll just make this last part in, and I think I've probably already talked about this, was the movie with Anna Faris called What's Your Number in 2010, which I think came out in 2011. That always takes about a year. Here Comes the Boom was the longest ever. I worked on it, and then it just, you waited and waited and waited for it to come out. And it was better than I thought it was going to be, in all honesty. The premise and whatnot. It was okay. But What's Your Number? Yeah, it was Martin Freeman. I sat right across from him at the scene in Beacon Hill, where she had to do the accent. So that was a good first experience doing it. I think I did That's My Boy. They filmed that in Brockton. And I wish I could remember all of them. But there were several. I was working pretty regularly with director Alex Karpovsky in a movie he did called Rubberneck, which was panned, and my scene was on the floor. I wasn't even shown. We did a bar scene. But you know what? It was fine to be out that day in Boston hanging out. Yeah, so you got that. Changing gears here. Okay, so my dad wanted to explain how Donald Trump was created. And I don't mean created, you know, to be the businessman that he is. I mean the Donald Trump that is now the GOP candidate for president. Okay, so this is how it happened. My dad will sum it up in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. He is going to write a paper on it. He's in the process of doing that. I don't know if he wants me to put it on Facebook or where it's going to be. We would like to interview him, though, Ron and I, at some point. So, about many things. He's very knowledgeable. So, listen up for this short 2 minutes and 30 second interview, or explanation, rather, about how Mitch McConnell, who, if you don't know, is the Republican senator from Kentucky. He's been there since the majority leader of the Senate since January 2015. Also, okay? So, and you may read up on this if you like, and maybe my dad's not the only one with this theory or thesis, but my dad knows what he's talking about, so check it out. It was created by Mitch McConnell. Yeah. How?
Because when Obama was elected president 8 years ago, Mike McConnell stood up in the Senate. On his first interview, he said, "My job is to make sure that Obama is a one-term president." Okay? What that meant was that nothing was going to get through Congress. He was going to make sure that Obama had a terrible 4 years so he wouldn't get reelected. And then after he did get reelected, he's going to still have no legacy. We're going to stop, and the Republicans in Congress, at his direction, wouldn't, even though Obamacare was what Mitt Romney, it was his idea, and Obama was great yesterday when he said, they're talking about, he was asking questions about Obamacare, and he said, well, it's got a problem, we can fix it. That's what we do. We have legislation, you find that something wrong with it, and you fix it. He said, you could call it Trump care, if you want. You could call it Paul Ryan care. I don't care. But by having the Congress for 8 years, couldn't care less about what happens to the country. All they cared about was gridlock so that Obama wouldn't get anything done, okay? Which created the atmosphere for the, I can fix it, look how bad it is. It's been nothing. You people in Congress, they're all, every government is terrible. I can fix it. But the atmosphere was created in those 8 days of Obama by Mitch McConnell, who said, I don't care what happens to the country. I don't care about America. All I care about is making sure that he doesn't get anything. All right? And that's how Trump was created. Mitch McConnell did it practically by himself.
Well, that was very cool, and I tend to agree with my father on anything political, just about, because he really has the experience. He actually ran for attorney general back in 1982 against Frank Bellotti. So, and my dad ran as a Republican. Frank Bellotti is a Democrat, in case anyone was wondering. So, you can look all of this stuff up. It's all public record. It's all on the internet. Before there was internet, it was all in the newspapers. So, I will, excuse me, I think I'm getting a cough. I don't know, I seem to be producing some kind of a cough, and I'm not happy about it, because if I cough too much, I get the hiccups, unfortunately. So, we'll see what happens next week. I'll see if there's more things to talk about. I'm sure there will be. I should do a theme show again. Maybe Tori will be driving or drinking or something. Probably not the drinking, but I don't mind driving. There's so much to do, so much to talk about. It's an exciting time of year. We're getting closer to November when Armageddon happens or something. I don't know. I hope not. All right. So we will talk to you. I'll talk at you, rather, then. Okay, peace. When I see you, eyes will turn blue. When I see you, a thousand eyes turning blue. Cause it's gone, daddy, gone. The love is gone. It's gone, daddy, gone. Yeah, it's gone, daddy, gone. Yeah, it's gone, daddy, gone. Love is gone away.
Know by the way that you treat your man, I can love you, babe. There's a crying.